Joining us now and using a voice disguiser is someone who has written a book by the name with the name Reza Khalili. It's called A Time to Betray, The Astonishing Double Life of a CIA Agent Inside the Revolutionary Guards of Iran. It's a Simon & Schuster title under Threshold Editions, and it's a fascinating book, which I read from cover to cover. Reza, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell us a little bit about, first of all, I read the entire book, and some of the most gripping parts of it are your family and friends and the different directions you went in, and then what you had to do to kind of make believe who you were, and your family and friends, many of them, were very disappointed in the direction you were going. Must have been tough to hold that secret.
Obviously, and the problem was that I couldn't have risked their well-being, because if any one of them would have found out, then they would have been at a greater danger. And so I had to play this role, and through most of it, I had to lie to them, which was really painful.
Yeah, I noticed that, especially when dealing with your mom, it was difficult.
Yes, because she would never realize that, why am I have joined the Revolutionary Guards, why I was behaving as such, why would I go to the war front, why I had a long beard. I mean, these were all shocking to her, and, they had sent me to U.S. to further my education. I was a very, playful young man, and so this all was really surprising to her. And I couldn't find the words to tell her that this is not who I am.
Yeah, I was very disturbed by the book. I mean, there's a lot of disturbing imagery in it, but the most disturbing was definitely the passage of the young lady that you knew, and what these Revolutionary Guards were doing in the prisons to young girls. It's outrageous.
Well, you see, this is what the West doesn't realize, and I have really tried in vain to since I started working for the agency to let them know that this is a brutal regime, this is a cruel regime, this is what they're doing to the people of Iran, and it's going to be dangerous to the world also. But it seems that it has fallen on deaf ears. People are paying heavily for wanting freedom in Iran, and I tried my best to provide this image to the world that, unlike what you see on TV, Iranians have been aspiring for freedom for over three decades now.
Well, you mentioned in the book there was a time where there was an uprising of some type in Iran. And the United States could have been very helpful in trying to help the people who were fighting Ahmadinejad and some of the people who are running Iran, but the United States didn't do anything.
But yes, there's been many, many times that there's been movements in Iran, the student movements, people demonstrating, workers demonstrating, and we've always turned our back on the Iranian people. And I think the most intense one was last summer, where people came out in hundreds of thousands, and the Western leaders just remained quiet because there was a prospect of negotiation behind the scene with the Iranian leaders, which didn't was not successful. What I'm trying to say is, you can never come to a mutual understanding with these sort of criminals, with terrorists, with these people who do unbelievable acts and crimes against human beings. I mean, they've been doing it not only to the Iranians, but look at how they've been killing our soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan, how many terrorist activities they've been involved. I mean, the defense minister of Iran, Mr. Ahmad Zahidi, is wanted by the Interpol for the Jewish community center bombing in Argentina, and yet we are allowing them access to nuclear technology. I mean, this should be frightening to the world.
Well, Well, Russia actually, I guess, has set up a nuclear facility for them, and I haven't heard the United States say anything about it.
Yes, I've allowed it. I mean, Russia couldn't have pursued the completion of the Bushehr nuclear facility without our consultation with us. I think, and I don't know this for a fact, but I think for President Obama to get the sanctions, he allowed the Russians to provide the fuel, which interestingly, the Bushehr nuclear facility could produce over 300 kilogram of near weapon grade plutonium, enough to make 60 nuclear bombs in the first couple of years. I mean, the Iranian rulers are jubilant about this. I mean, their scientists are now ever closer to put together a nuclear bomb.
Well, our president has told the American people that he wants to reach out to the Iranians and work with them toward peace, and he's not going to allow them to build a nuclear bomb. But on the other hand, he has told Israel that under no one's circumstances are they allowed to go bomb Iran. So, of course, Israel will do what they want to do, with or without the president's approval. But what's your take on all this as a someone who's from Tehran and was a member of the Revolutionary Guard? What's your take on the whole situation there?
Well, you see, this was one of the main reasons I wrote the book, because I kept on seeing this betrayal by the Western leaders for over 30 years. And they don't get it. I've tried to show them who the Iranians are and who their rulers are. And there is no way that there is going to be a time where the Iranian clerical establishment and the rulers are going to come to a mutual understanding with the leaders of the world and become part of the well-behaving countries of the world. You see, their philosophy is what we are lacking. We don't understand that. President Obama thought that the problem was America and how America was behaving. And therefore he tried to show a different face, thinking that that would appease the mullahs and they would come to the negotiating table. But that's not their problem. They care less who runs America and how we approach them and how many love letters we send them. Their philosophy is that Islam should conquer the world. It's the glorification of Allah and Islam. And until we understand that, we're going to be witnessing horrific events, and now it's more urgent than any time before, because if the Iranian leaders access the nuclear bomb, then it's going to be disastrous for the world.
Do you think that it would be appropriate for Israel to take that out?
Well, it is an existential threat to Israel. I mean, we should have no doubt about that. Because Iran is the country that has established Hezbollah, arming Hamas, Islamic Jihad. You're going to find dirty bombs in the hands of their terror network very soon, and they are, their intention is to eliminate Israel for sure. So Israel could attack Iran, and they should think about, as I've said before, not just taking out the nuke site, but helping the Iranian people to accomplish a regime change. And this should be our goal, because until that time, these people are going to pose grave danger to the peace and stability of the world.
I think that Riza, the problem in the United States right now is that we're pretty much sick of taking out people in other countries. We did that with Saddam Hussein, and many people in America don't want to be in Iraq. We're leaving there. They don't want to be in Afghanistan, and they don't want to be anywhere in that area, actually.
Well, you're absolutely right. Because of past mistakes, because of past aggressive foreign policy, a lot of people resent any involvement. But you have to realize that the global economy and the stability of it is dependent on the stability of flow of oil and energy of the Persian Gulf. Anything that happens there, it's going to affect everybody here in the U.S. Now, we could very well say, oh, let there be whatever may be. But I can tell you this for a fact, from my experience and from knowing the clerical in Iran, they will access the nuclear bomb. They will take the world hostage. You will see your economy in shatters, and they will threaten the stability of the world, and we're going to be taken hostage, because once they acquire that, there is no way you can confront them without horrific events taking place in the world.
Now, for the folks out there who don't like Jews and don't like Israel, the threat of Iran having nuclear weapons goes beyond that, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely. It's not only a threat towards the Jews. Listen to this. They take it from the Quran, okay? Literally from the Quran. And it says, jihad on infidels, killing them until there are no more sinners on earth, and all are believers of Allah. So they don't care if you're a Christian, a Jew, Buddhist, or what have you. Unless you convert to Islam and fully submit to Islam, you're their enemy. And the philosophy goes beyond that, and that's that they believe that once they create such circumstances that there is total chaos, havoc, and lawlessness, and there is nuclear war, and one-third of the world's population are dead, then the 12 Shiite Imam is going to reappear and conquer the world, and Islam will be then ruled the whole world. So that's what they think. They think that there's going to be an end of time, and Islam is going to conquer the world, and this is how it's going to happen. And obviously, if we allow them, then millions will die.
Well, our president has eliminated the expression Islamic terrorists. He said that we're not at war with any terrorism groups. Would you concur with him, or would you think that he's actually looking in the wrong direction?
Well, you see, the problem is that President Obama wants to show the Islamic community around the world, the Muslims, the over 1 billion and almost 1 billion and a half Muslims, that U.S. Is not their enemy. And he's chosen a path to show that and basically try to bring about a better image for America. But he's going to understand this. Most of the Muslims around the world, they are not radicals. They are just regular human beings who love the West, who go about their living, you know, being nice to their friends, to their neighbors, and thinking about, you know, being a good human being. Many are like that. They don't think like the radicals. But the radicals are terrorists, Islamic terrorists, and we've got to call them as such, and we've got to voice our support for those who want to free themselves from the rule of these radicals, and resent the radicals and call them out and call them what they are.
So, in other words, what the stance he's taking has been counterproductive in helping people who are trapped in places like Iran?
Yes, absolutely. You know, in Iran during the demonstrations, you know, people were saying, Obama, Obama, are you with them or with us? They were disgusted by the way we approached the mullahs and called Iran the Islamic Republic of Iran, legitimizing a criminal government. I mean, this is totally unacceptable and goes against every principle that this country stands for.
Is there any chance in our lifetime that you'll go back to Iran and in a free Iran, do you think?
Well, you see, as I've explained in the book, it's my dream, it's my wish. That's the reason I'm out there. That's the reason I wrote the book. You know, we've got boys and girls right now in Evin prison, suffering, being tortured, being raped, being executed every day. It's total suppression on millions of Iranians who want freedom, who want democracy, who want friendship. And, you know, I think if we take the right approach, I think if we support them, absolutely, we're going to see freedom take place. We're going to see a more peaceful world. And it would be my dream to go back and pay my, you know, appropriate respect to many whom are lost after the revolution.
Now, of all the people that we met in this book, how many are you in contact with now in the United States? Any of them?
Well, you see, all my relatives, they have no clue what I've done and you know, what my activities really were. And so I have kept a distance to still protect them. I talk to them every once in a while, and they wonder why I don't go there visiting them. It's been many, many years that I haven't been back. Mm-hmm. And I am in touch with certain individuals at the Revolutionary Guards, whom I get updates on the events and try to inform the agency whenever I have something important.
So you're still in touch with the agency as Wally at this point?
It's through a channel that I have from many years ago. Every once in a while, I'm not routinely in touch. I'm not working for them anymore.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, I come across something important. I pass it through my channel.
So you're doing your duty as an American at this point, because you're living in the United States, right?
Yes, I'm doing my duties as an American citizen. After the 9/11, I also contacted the FBI, passed along some information in regards to a possible Al-Qaeda sleeper cell. So I'm keeping my eyes and ears fully open, and I do whatever I can.
Have you had the chance to speak to anybody in the Obama administration?
No, unfortunately not.
If you could speak to the president, if he was right here right now on this line, and you could talk to him, what would you say?
Well, I would say approaching the Iranian government is not going to bring about any result. We should immediately change course for the well-being of America, for the well-being of Iran. It's totally tied to our national security, and sanctions is not going to change their behavior. So we've got to immediately come out and work voices for the Iranian people and have our allies put much more pressure on the Iranian government. There is a big crack right now in the government. We can help with the downfall of this regime without a bullet being fired. Otherwise, Mr. President, there's going to be war.
One of the things you said earlier in this interview was that the Iranian, the clerics running the country don't really care who's running America. But in actuality, I remember when they took the American hostages, they kind of crippled Jimmy Carter and helped Ronald Reagan get elected. There must have been some kind of a reason for that.
Well, no, there was no reason for that. The only reason they took hostages was to Khomeini wanted to break relations with the United States, wanted to belittle the United States and its might, and basically take revenge from President Carter, who had taken in Shah. Shah came here for treatment,
right.
And they wanted to force Carter to return Shah. But you could understand President Carter was the one that facilitated the Islamic government take place in Iran and facilitated the overthrow of the Shah. This shows you how much the Islamic rulers in Iran care about what you do. I mean, basically they wanted to break up ties, and they started their animosity from day one.
You actually wrote quite a bit about that whole situation in the book, a lot of surprising information that was in there.
Yes, because everybody thinks that Khomeini was not aware of the hostage taking. He was fully aware of that, he approved of that, and this was a setup through the students, followers of Imam Pat, to take this action and basically change Iran's history and foreign policy from there on.
It's an incredible book. I got to remind people it's called A Time to Betray, from Threshold Editions, The Astonishing Double Life of a CIA Agent Inside the Revolutionary Guards of Iran, by Reza Khalili. Now, you are, again, living in the United States. What are you doing now for work to keep busy?
Well, obviously I can't discuss that, but You know, just like any other citizen, I am employed, working to try to provide for my family, and at the same time, you know, writing articles, you know, voicing out what I believe should happen to avert a horrific future for the U.S., Iran, and the whole world.
How much is China and Russia involved in some of the stuff going on in Iran?
Well, you see, both of them were involved with the Islamic Revolution since its inception. I witnessed Russian KGB officers in Iran right after the revolution. Their intelligence people were all over Iran. They helped with the intelligence apparatus of the Revolutionary Guards, with the way we torture prisoners in Evin prison, and with the stability and security of the Islamic government. And China was deeply involved with the training and arming of the Revolutionary Guards. And I remember one report I made during that time, a few weeks after that, I heard from a high official in the Reagan administration who openly criticized China, saying that they were arming the Revolutionary Guards, and I was really excited that my reports were going so high up.
It's interesting. You know, one of the things that alarms people in this country, and I think it should alarm them even more, if you look at some of the Islamic settlements in the European countries, many of the Islamic terrorist types have moved into those nations and formed cells, and a lot of them are actually here in this country as well. Is this something that you're aware of as well?
Yes, there are many in the U.S., in Canada. Now, the Ghost Forces of Iran, the Wing of Revolutionary Guards, in charge of terrorist activities, they've expanded greatly into Venezuela. From there, with the connection to drug cartels, they get into Mexico and then into U.S. Actually, I was involved several years in Europe within the Islamic community, working for the agency. You know, mosques were used, Islamic centers were used. They've got a big network of recruiting, training, and expanding, you know, the terror network, and it's going to pose a grave danger to Europe and the U.S. These people are ready to blow themselves up at the right time.
Now, you live in this country now. What do you think about the plans of the imam to build a Islamic center two blocks from 911?
Well, that's very insensitive of them. I mean, with what happened on 9/11, and this was no small event, over 3,000 people lost their lives, and those people who flew the planes in the towers, the last words was, I testify that Allah is my God, I testify that Muhammad is my prophet. And are we going to hear those five times a day out of the mosque, close to the place where this event took place? I mean, this is totally insensitive at the least. And if they were part of the United States community as U.S. citizens, that they should have donated this land to the survivors of the 9/11 victims, and they should have helped build a beautiful memorial for the 9/11 victims, as opposed to proposing to build a mosque. And you know, it's very insensitive. And my personal belief is that this is an insult. Even though we have freedom of religion, freedom of speech in this country, and that's what this country stands for, but we've got to use logic and common sense and bring together the community as opposed to divide it. And if they had, if they believed in compassion, in being part of the community and helpful to the community, they shouldn't have proposed this and insist on it. I think it should not take place. I strongly think it should not take place.
I agree with you. I think that they do have a right to do it, but it just seems that they really, really want to reach out, like they're saying, and you know, get in along in peace with everybody and kind of promote the Muslim religion as a nice, friendly religion, that you would think that they would not be doing what they're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, if you say Islam is about compassion, it's about mercy, it's about friendship, then how does this represent Islam? I mean, first of all, I have a problem with the religion because it requires total submission and surrender. And I resent that because the human being has been created as free souls. I mean, I don't want to get into the philosophical of it, but, you know, if you want to be part of the community, if you want to expand on compassion and resent the actions of the radicals, then this is wrong. And, you know, go around trying to raise money and try to meet with the Islamic leaders throughout the country. I mean, what does the Saudis represent? Wahhabism. I mean, look at the schools they set up in Pakistan and others. It's totally unacceptable. And clerics in Iran, I mean, they're messianic. They would love to have this mosque in New York because it's going to be another center with backdoor meetings, recruitings, expanding fanaticism. I'm totally, totally surprised by this imam taking a job as such. He's doing exactly what the radicals want him to do.
And we talked a little bit about President Obama. What did you think of the presidencies of Bill Clinton and George Bush in terms of how they dealt with radical Islam?
Well, you see, I have stated in my book, and this was the most painful, quite a few events. I mean, we all know about President Carter. He let the genie out, and him and Mr. Brzezinski really messed up the Middle East, and the results are still there. We are still hurting from radical Islam. But during President Bush Sr., I was in Europe, I was working for the agency. I reiterated at that time that the best solution was to support the Iranian people for freedom. We have to get rid of the mullahs. Iranians already have been ready. And at the time, Prince Reza Pahlavi, the son of Shah, was very popular in Iran, very moderate guy, intellectual, educated. And when I proposed this, my handler told me point blank, consider Rafsanjani the new king of Iran. I mean, Rafsanjani, who accommodated the Penang bombing, Rafsanjani, who is wanted by the prosecutors now in Argentina for the Argentinian bombing, these are all terrorists. At that time, President Bush Sr. was promised by Rafsanjani a normalization in relation, and he trusted Rafsanjani, and it really bewildered me how every president, including President Clinton and others, believed these messages that they were going to come to a solution, and they turned their back on Iranian people and the principles of this nation, which is to protect freedom and democracy. And hence the result. We are where we are. And if we falter anymore, which we are right now with the Obama administration, these people are going to get their hands on nuclear bomb. It's beyond me why we are not frightened.
That's a good point. And one other question I want to ask you about that it's discussed loosely in the book here and there, but really not as a topic. The Middle East right now, the president is trying to bring Israel and the Palestinian Authority to the table to try to form that two-state solution. Do you think that will work and it will ever happen?
Well, you know, it should happen. We have to do our best to happen because that has divided, the Muslims and the Jews for a long, long time. There is so much animosity. There is so much blood of innocent people. We have to resent radicalism and call them out for what they are, and at the same time we have to help the moderates and we have to help bring a peaceful solution between Israel and Palestine, and bring them together, and make sure there is two states, and support that idea, because that's gonna bring about a change in history and course of the future actions. They have to live peacefully by each other, respect each other's sovereignty and right to live, and become friends. I mean, there are many Palestinians working within the Israel community. I mean, they love to be living peacefully together. It's just that these radicals, always throw these glitches in there. They try to announce that Israel doesn't have a right to be out there, and that's totally unacceptable.
Well, yeah, I mean, the average person in Iran wants to live freely too, and not be under the rule of the clerics. But the average Palestinian is a peace loving person. But unfortunately, the people who rule their areas want nothing to do with Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah, all these people that are running different areas in that country. So the moderates are kind of they stick their neck out for peace. Someone's ready to chop it off.
Absolutely, and that has been the scenario. I mean, if you look at the history, you see every time there was a serious peace negotiation, then a couple of days later there was a suicide bombing in Israel, many killed, and then the whole the negotiation would collapse. These are all arranged because these people don't want peace. These people don't want Israel to be there, and they don't care about the regular Palestinian people. I mean, Iranian rulers have been supporting this policy, and they don't care how many people in Lebanon and Palestine die, innocent children, innocent men and women, because they are looking at the ultimate end of time days. They're looking at Islam conquering the world, and that's why we have to resent these rulers. We have to help to bring about the regime change in Iran. And I've said this over and over and over again. With mullahs gone from Iran, it will go a long, long way for a peaceful future in the world. Hezbollah will become fatherless. Hamas will no longer have support. Islamic Jihad will no longer have support. Syria wouldn't be getting hundreds of millions of dollars. Venezuela wouldn't be getting these funds, and you'll see that the circumstances will immediately change with the radicals.
For people listening right now that are really concerned and want to try to help the people of Iran, in addition to buying a time to betray, Reza Khalili, K-A-H-L-I-L-I, The Astonishing Double Life of a CIA Agent Inside the Revolutionary Gods of Iran from Threshold. What do you recommend Americans do if they want to get involved?
I appreciate that you're recommending the book. I think that would be an eye-opener. They would understand the Iranian people. They would understand the situation. They would really get a clear picture of that area. I would recommend, please help me spread my word. Please call up your representatives. Please support the idea of freedom. It's going to not only be helpful to the Iranian people free themselves from this evil regime, it's going to address our national security, it's going to address our well-being and a better future for the whole world. And every time someone in the U.S. really gets their voice out to the Iranian people over there, you wouldn't believe it. Even the young students, the girls and boys who are being tortured in Evin prison, they hear it. They get energy. They understand that, you are on their side. And they become energized, and their movement expands. They become more emboldened. So speak out for them, and speak out for freedom and democracy.
Thank you, Reza. Again, the book is called A Time to Betray. Reza Khalili, The Astonishing Double Life of a CIA Agent Inside the Revolutionary Gods of Iran. It's a fascinating book and a disturbing book. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a great pleasure to be on your show. Thank you.
Take care. Good luck.